When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the entire universal Church of Christ was small enough to fit into one room. But within 50 years, that little church was spread all over the Roman Empire and beyond, and it has never stopped growing in the 2 millennia since. The dynamic force which impels the church's growth is supernatural fire, the fire of divine love, the fire which changes human lives from the inside out by conforming us to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the whole human race. With a universal language of love, the Apostle Peter and the young church proclaimed to the world, beginning in Jerusalem, that Jesus of Nazareth is both the true heir of King David and the eternal Word by whom all things were made. The Lord Jesus is the divine Messiah, crucified and risen from the dead, revealed in glory as the Father's only begotten Son, and established in power as the King of all creation and judge of the living and the dead. Jesus Christ, not Caesar, is the true Son of God. And this Pentecostal proclamation of the gospel concluded with St. Peter's clarion call to conversion: repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. In the 20 centuries since that first outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the church has ever prayed for the gift of Pentecostal power. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Through the wondrous work of the Holy Spirit, the gravitational pull of divine love draws all of us toward each other by drawing us all into Christ. And so at Pentecost, the disciples were all together in one place. But we also know that the centrifugal force of sin works against the attractive force of divine love. Sin works to spin us apart, to tear us away from the Lord and therefore from each other, by the hardening of our hearts in the constant rebellion of the autonomous imperial self against the eternal law of love. And that is why the mission and unity of the church must always be grounded in our constant conversion from sin, understood as the radical reorientation of our whole lives, a change made possible only by grace through our obedience of faith to the gospel. And in that obedience we find not servitude, but freedom. The freedom of the children of God to live in happiness and holiness according to our true purpose and everlasting destiny, which we know only through the supernatural gift of divine revelation, the unveiling of God's eternal plan of salvation, given first to Israel and then finally and fully in Jesus Christ. But for that transforming conversion to take place, we must first accept the gospel with saving faith. And that requires preachers who can announce the good news of salvation with authority and credibility, just as the Lord Jesus commanded us at his ascension. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Fulfilling that great commission is the sacred duty and high privilege of all the baptized. But from among the baptized, some are called and set apart to preach the gospel and to celebrate the sacraments for their brothers and sisters in Christ. And the men who are called and sent in this way are changed by grace and charged to continue Christ's sacred ministry in the holy orders of deacons, priests, and bishops. We know that in our day, fewer and fewer men are offering themselves to serve Christ and his church in the sacred ministry, and this is rightly a cause of concern. But it is also true that fewer and fewer young Catholics are choosing to receive the sacrament of holy matrimony and to remain open to the gift of children. And fewer parents of young children are presenting them for holy baptism. And perhaps strangest of all, fewer and fewer older Catholics are choosing to be buried with the funeral rites of the Church, or at least their adult children who no longer practice the faith are not making that choice for their parents. I say strangest of all, because at least the thought of our own death should awaken a religious hope for life beyond the grave. But when human life has no authentic purpose or meaning because it has been flattened into randomness without moral grandeur or a transcendent horizon, then even the hope for perfect and eternal love begins to evaporate. All of this is part of the great apostasy of our time, the falling away from the Lord Jesus and his church, which is happening in every part of the developed world and is accelerating. Our best minds and wisest saints have so far failed to find a way to stop this drift into irreligion. But we can be absolutely sure of this much. When the solution comes, and it will come, it will not be of human devising. The end of the great apostasy will not be because of a new program of catechesis, nor will it be because of a novel approach to youth ministry, or giant pep rallies with vestments, or a contrived style of worship following musical fads, or a change in the organizational chart of chanceries, or a vacuous synod on synodality in the Vatican. No, when the great apostasy is halted and reversed, it will be solely the will and work of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the living God always works his will in the world through chosen human instruments. And so it remains our duty and privilege as disciples to hear and heed the word of God, to shape our lives by the liberating truth of the gospel, and to surrender our intellects and wills in the obedience of faith to the Lord Jesus, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And that is why the church needs young men to step forward and offer themselves to be instruments of grace for others in the sacred ministry. And for us to assist those young men in coming forward, we must remember that the priesthood is not an extraordinary life for extraordinary men. No, being a priest of Jesus Christ is an ordinary Christian life for ordinary Christian men. What is extraordinary is being a faithful Christian at all. And once we grasp that by the grace of our baptism, we can all be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, and so can live extraordinary lives, then every vocation will find its place in the church, including marriage, parenthood, religious life, and the priesthood. It is our joy today to be led at the altar in divine worship by two sons of this parish who have just been ordained. Last week in Washington, D.C., Father Vincent Bernhard was ordained to the priesthood for the Order of Preachers, founded by St. Dominic in the 13th century, at the time of another great apostasy. And 2 days ago, Deacon Peter Osteen was ordained for the Diocese of Charleston and will become a priest next year around this time. If I may be blunt, both of these men are healthy, happy, and refreshingly normal. And their witness reminds us that the extraordinary life of grace goes on constantly in the lives of ordinary Christian men and women, even now in this time of aggressive irreligion. Father Vincent and Deacon Peter, may the Lord of mercies grant you many fruitful years of service to his church. Be fearless heralds of the gospel and true ministers of the sacraments, and know that you have the gratitude and prayerful support of countless people who are walking with you as pilgrims in the way of the cross. But understand the challenge you face in calling others to faith in Jesus Christ at a time of unbelief. Friends, we need Pentecostal fire right now in the Catholic Church. And God be praised, it is Pentecost. Millions of baptized Catholics have forsaken the grace of their baptism and live like pagans. Too many Catholics disregard the solemn and sacred teaching of the Lord Jesus on the nature and purpose of marriage, and have exchanged the true faith of the gospel for Gnostic fantasies about recreating human nature to suit our disordered desires. Fantasies that lead to the desecration of the living icon of God, the human person. People throughout the once Christian West have abandoned faith in the living God and now worship the deified planet Earth as the goddess Gaia, making loud professions of faith in environmental politics, even as they surrender their human dignity in the reckless search for nihilistic pleasure. To put it plainly, the world is a mess, and too often the church is not much better, not least because of the frequent infidelities of the clergy. So, what can we do? Well, when the day of Pentecost had come, the first Christians were all together in one place. And that is what we can do. We can all be together in the upper room, which is the supper room, by repenting of our sins and believing in the gospel. We can all be together by serving those in need as we would serve Christ himself, and by loving each other as Christ loves us. We can all be together by learning the sacred scriptures as the inspired and infallible word of God. And we can all be together by receiving the word made flesh in the seven sacraments of the new and eternal covenant, most especially in the Holy Eucharist. When we believe the gospel, receive the sacraments worthily, and shape our lives by grace through faith, then we are all together in Christ, as were the first Christians on the first Pentecost. And that is how we can remain one in the Lord Jesus, who came to cast a fire upon the earth and to redeem us from the grave by forgiving our sins. And our unity in Christ then becomes a witness to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord, sent by God the Father for our salvation and anointed by God the Holy Spirit to accomplish his Paschal mystery. With God's grace, we can preserve our unity of mind and heart and purpose by living together in full visible communion with the church, and by preserving that communion through rejecting everything contrary to the gospel. By living in this way through the power of the resurrection, then we can pray with integrity for a new Pentecost. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. And that, friends, is how we bear faithful witness to the gospel of the world's salvation and draw others to know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti, Christ is risen, truly he is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.